Melbourne Cup Carnival kicks off tomorrow. This year, though, it will be without the presence of trainer Peter Moody. Peter Moody walked away from racing earlier this year, you might remember, after he was accused, well, essentially, it looked like he was accused initially of cheating. One of his racehorses had returned an illegally high reading of the substance cobalt, which is potentially a performance enhancer. Since that decision, we've learned a lot more about cobalt. This development sullied a great reputation, built on the back of five racehorse of the year titles. Not bad for one trainer. Peter Moody's best, though, of course, was the magnificent Black Caviar, Australia's most winningest galloper. She was never beaten in 25 starts. The Peter Moody saga has been chronicled by Helen Thomas in a book simply titled Moods. Helen, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Our resident racing analyst. Black Caviar was the superstar of Australian racing. Peter Moody was adored because he was the trainer of Black Caviar largely. Then came the cobalt scandal. Is this a story, this story Moods, about a fall from grace?
Well, that's an interesting question. In a sense, it is, I guess, but in another sense, no, because he was not disqualified. Let's be clear on that. He was suspended for 12 months by the RAD board, the Racing Appeals and Disciplinary Board in Victoria, and 6 months of that suspension in itself was suspended. Now, that means that effectively that came into play in March of this year and it ended on the September 24th of this year. So by rights, he could be training again now. But as you said in your lead, he has chosen to walk away from the one job he's done all his life, his passion in life, if you like, you know, aside from his family, and he's not training.
And we'll talk about that decision. We'll talk more about the whole cobalt scandal in a moment. The man himself, though, was a big character in an industry full of big and colourful characters. And you say in the book, everything about Peter Moody is big, his personality, his intelligence, his friendships, his influence, his appetite. But you also say he always remained an outsider to horse racing's establishment. Why was he, I mean, clearly a star trainer, why was he an outsider?
Well, it's interesting. He addresses that. He sort of muses on that towards the end of the book himself, and he's not sure why. I suspect it's because of the way, you know, he came into racing. He was born at Charleville Hospital. He lived about 5 miles out of Wyandra. So, you know, he came up the hard way. He did it the hard way, and he did it on his own. And yet he worked so hard to get where he was. I mean, as he says himself, maybe he wasn't very good at delegating. Maybe he's not a people's person. He actually told stewards that. You know, he would prefer to be out with the horses rather than schmoozing with the owners.
He's not a people's person, and yet the racing crowds loved him.
Racing crowds loved him, and I think
was that just because he had winning racehorses?
Yeah, and I think there was something, and there is something about the way he deals with people, whether it's, you know, they're on the track, they own a horse, they're just in the, you know, in the public around him, he'll stop and talk to you. It doesn't matter who you are. He'll talk to you in the same way that he deals with the media. I'd imagine the same way he deals with his most influential and wealthy owners.
His five Racehorse of the Year titles in the space of just 6 years, an incredible achievement. Black Caviar was the queen of the track.
Well, she won three of them.
The queen of his achievements, yeah. But there was Typhoon Tracy. There was Dissident then afterwards. What's the key to his success? I remember we've spoken to you before about Bart Cummings and what was his secret. What was Peter Moody's secret? Did you find that out as you wrote this book?
Yeah, and the interesting thing is I think in a way the best trainers share this trait. It's an attention to detail. It's a way of seeing horses. So many people said to me in the course of researching this book, you know what, I worked with Peter when he was 18. I worked with Peter when he was 23. I worked whenever it was they were working with him. No matter how many horses he was in charge of, whether it was 10, whether it was 100, he could walk into a mounting yard, he could walk into the stables, come on the track, look at them all coming off the track from track work, walk into a paddock full of horses without any gear on and know exactly each horse. He could recognise the horse, he could tell how well the horse was or wasn't. That attention to detail, that eye for a horse is something they all share.
Is that what got him Black Caviar? I mean, a lot of people will pick up this book because they love Black Caviar. They want to know about Black Caviar. And there's some disturbing things. You know, Black Caviar had dodgy knees to start with. It sustained a lot of injuries, tore muscles and still raced. Did he look after Black Caviar properly?
He sure did. I mean, you can't – winning a race anywhere, we've said this before, Fran, any horse that can win a race – is a good horse, whether it's at, you know, a little track at Wyong or somewhere, you know, south of Adelaide, whatever it is, getting a horse to the races and coming away successful is great. Getting a horse to win 25 races in two continents is pretty special.
It's astounding.
It's pretty special.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 21 past eight. Our guest is Helen Thomas, and she's just written a book about Peter Moody, the horse trainer. It's called Moods. We'd better get to Cobalt. It was all about a horse called Ladari. Unlike Black Caviar, Peter Moody describes Ladari as, quote, a dickhead of a horse, a brat, but a potential champion stayer, which is why he was interested in the horse. He was charged with racing a horse, Ladari, with elevated cobalt levels. He was not charged with fixing a race, charged with cheating, but for a lot of people that difference got lost in the wash. And this is what drove Peter Moody to walk away? He just felt his reputation was tarnished beyond repair?
I think it took a toll on him. There's no doubt of that. And when you think about it, the Ladari raced in the Turnbull Stakes in October 2014. So that's 2 years ago. So just think of this time frame. He came back with an elevated cobalt reading, as you've just said, and Peter Moody was told of that in January 2015. He wasn't charged until 2016. He didn't go before the RAD board until December 2015, and the whole matter didn't end until March of this year. So all up, it took 17 months. I think that was a long, long time. And John Schreck, probably Australia's best known steward, he of course was the steward in New South Wales who oversaw the jockey tapes, he oversaw the fine cotton affair. He says he believes that was too long. So I think that process itself and the charges that were laid, yes, they had a big effect on him. And I wonder, Fran, and a number of people have said this to me, how much pressure was Peter Moody under when he had Black Caviar? I mean, it sounds to us outside, having a horse
that can just win
25 times, it's so much fun. But I think for those involved, it became kind of torturous.
The fear of not winning.
Yeah. Peter, the burden of having a people's horse like that.
Yeah. Peter Moody maintains his innocence on the cobalt front, and he said a month or two ago, I've lost everything. I've lost my business, my way of making a living, my reputation, everything. He's out of training. And I think this is the enduring question, really. After all his achievements, all his success, how did this man get out of racing?
Well, I think he was suspended, and he could have given his stable to another trainer. And for a couple of days after the suspension was announced, he looked at that, and there was a trainer in Mornington called David Brydoke who seemed the likely one to take over. And then a couple of days later, Peter Moody wrote to his owners and said, no, after consultation with my wife, Sarah, who's a very important part of this whole story, this whole extraordinary career, he decided enough was enough. He didn't want to do that. So he walked away from racing and closed the stable doors. The horses went to other trainers. And as I say, he's lived through that suspension now. He can train again now if he wants to. He's choosing at this point not to.
Do you think he'll be back?
Well, that's the question. Now, he says no. I think Sarah says no. But
his wife?
Yeah, his wife. But, oh, gee.
Okay. Before we finish, Helen, it is Derby Day tomorrow. Do you have a tip?
Well, Fran, if you like your history, and I know you do, the Derby is really important. It was you know, it's one of those races that traditionally throws up a good stayer. And interestingly, there's a fourth generation Cummings with a horse in the race. James Cummings, of course, grandson of Bart, great-grandson of James. They know how to train a stayer, and son of Anthony. He's got a horse called Prize Icon. And if you like the Bart Cummings connection, I know you do, there are two horses in there that are sons of the great So You Think, who, of course, Bart trained.
It's a champion race.
So I'd say so si bon.
Helen Thomas, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Helen Thomas, I don't know, do we call you the ABC News Radio Racing Editor?
News Radio Racing
News
Editor,
Radio
sure.
Racing Editor, and of course she presents Hoof on the Till on Sunday mornings with Max Presnell. Her book is called Moods, The Peter Moody Saga, published by Nero Books. And Helen will be trackside at Flemington for us next Tuesday on Cup Day.